And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, I just realized Tom, with all the kids, he had sent two texts. And he sent me one. He goes, "You missed the previous text." Okay, you're Tom, I see it now. Thank you very much. The first one had said, "Every time I get a document auto-pinned by the big boss, there's a note accompanying it that says either VOCO, basically it's been verbally approved, or approved by email." Yeah, I agree. That's the way it should be. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you. Tom with all the kids. All right, I'm going to change dippers now. What do you say? You want to do two? Let's do two today. Why not?
I think that's a good idea.
I'm pretty sure I did one in the first part of the show. Judicial activism.
Yeah, I think that was worth a dipper in itself.
Can we count that?
I guess we can count it. Yeah,
is John going to count it for my grade?
It depends. I mean, he's a harsh critic. Yeah. We know
when you can get a whole off the cuff dipper, you know you're getting passion,
like an unplanned dipper to start the day.
Passion.
I feel like that should count.
I agree. Thank you very much. All right, dipper number two though is this is going to get. We don't have a drum roll, do we? Do we have a drum roll?
No, we do not.
God, we need to get a drum roll.
No, we do.
This one is going to get some people fired up. Text lines are open 833-687-4448. That's 833-68 right. Birthright citizenship. Ah, Jay. Yeah, listen. I do not think so. I was on Newsmax this past weekend. And part of the topic of discussion of the panel that I was on for the Saturday morning show was related to birthright citizenship. What do I think about this? Before I even dive into my dippers, let me tell you what I think about this. I think it has to end. I think it absolutely is not being used today in the way the framers of the 14th Amendment ever anticipated. When the 14th Amendment was initially enacted and ratified by the states in the wake of the Civil War, I want to say it was 1868, something like that, the 14th Amendment put into place was largely to grant citizenship to freed slaves. That was its original intent. You can go back and look at the framer. There's a thing in the law called legislative intent. This has been like lawyer field day. But there's a thing in the law called legislative intent. You have case law, which is where judges make a ruling and it sets precedent. And then the other one is called statutory law, and that's where legislative action has created a statute or a constitutional matter that we have to abide by. That's called the black letter law. The black letter law is always more decisive and stringent than typically what is found in the case law, because the case law is judicial interpretation of something, whereas statutory law is black and white. All right, that being said, when all this is done, when black and white law is put into place, you can oftentimes look for what is known as the legislative intent. In other words, if you're not sure what they meant, go back and look and see what they said when they were passing what you're reading now. And you can still do that. Well, this is the 14th Amendment. This is an amendment to the U.S. Constitution. This is absolutely something that is going to be on the record, and you can still find the debates and the writings and the legislative intent of the people who were in office at the time who passed this. And it's significant when you do that. And you will not find that what they intended was, if a day ever comes that we have millions of people flooding across our southern border and washing into our nation, then let's go ahead and just say this law will allow them all to be citizens. No one ever did that. There's, in fact, I've got a quote here. I pulled an article from FAIR, which is in their website is fairus.org. That's the Foundation for American Immigration Reform. FAIR has a great write-up on birthright citizenship that came out yesterday. The headline of it is, and by the way, these are all on the resources that we got for the show, rightsidemedia.org. Go to the live stream page underneath the screen where you can watch, you know, us in the studio doing the show here. You see resources and all the resources. If I'm rattling paper, there's a link to it, so you can go get it yourself. This is a great article from FAIR. They make the point that the Trump administration has the ability to petition for the Supreme Court to deal with the 14th Amendment interpretation. And the author points out that one senator back in the 1800s who spoke of it when they were framing it said persons may be born in the United States and yet not be citizens. Well, that's legislative intent, my friends. Legislative intent. We'll come back and dive into it in more detail. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about this show, y'all. Goes from Huntsville way on back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa way on back over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn. And, oh, yes, stretching across the border into Fort Benning, Georgia. Fort Benning, I called it Fort Benning. And even big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in, just for good measure. All right, listen, I gotta dive a little further into this thing. I'm talking about birthright citizenship. All right, coming here in the last half hour I guess we're in the go home half hour right now of the show. But in the last half hour, I gotta dig a little more into this birthright citizenship thing with you, because right now this is a major challenge. Trump has issued an executive order called Protecting the Meaning and Value of American Citizenship. And he's seeking to establish that birthright citizenship shall not be established, I'm quoting the words, shall not be extended to those unlawfully or temporarily in the country, and thus not otherwise subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. The reason he said it that way is because that is the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment literally allows for someone to have citizenship if they are, in fact, born here and subject to the jurisdiction of here. Now, how do we challenge that? Well, you have to look, first of all, at a variety of things. Legislative intent, I spoke about that a minute ago. When it was framed, when it was first put before the body for vote to be then sent out to be ratified by the people, were the legislators intending for it to be something that any given person who staggered across the Rio Grande and had their baby here would suddenly have a U.S. citizen anchor child? And no, it was not. I would hazard that it was not. Legislative intent seems to imply that it was not. Now, nonetheless, we already have, four? I think it's a judge in the U.S. District for Washington, another in Maryland, another in New Hampshire, another in Massachusetts have all issued nationwide injunctions against Trump's executive order on birthright citizenship being enforceable. It's going to the Supreme Court, and it has to. We're going to have to get a SCOTUS interpretation of whether or not millions of people are allowed to flood the southern border and then millions of their children become U.S. citizens merely because they came here illegally. Here's the thing. Subject to the jurisdiction. What does that mean? Well, let's see. They came here illegally, and yet they are actually citizens of a foreign land. Would that imply, then, that they are not here with the intent to be subject to the jurisdiction of the United States? Because that's the way the ratified version says. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the states wherein they reside. And it then puts the prohibitions against, you know, not allowing that. So jurisdiction, here's part of the argument. Lawyer Phil again. Part of the argument against, you know, the idea that you can have millions of people flood the country and become immediate citizens is that the word jurisdiction used in the amendment is determined as a political jurisdiction. Meaning, and the article I've got is awesome, meaning that means subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, one must owe an allegiance then to the United States and not to any other foreign power, a.k.a. you came here and you're a citizen of Mexico or Venezuela or Guatemala or Cuba or China or wherever, and you came here illegally, you're still subject to your home country's jurisdiction. You didn't come here to be subject to ours. In fact, you snuck in. You were choosing to not subject yourself to our jurisdiction. You did not enter appropriately. You did not have permission. You did not apply for citizenship or a green card. So you did not subject yourself to our jurisdiction. You're still subject to your home jurisdiction. Wouldn't that seem to imply then that this is interpreted as anchor babies don't apply? This is a fight, y'all. And literally, we're going to wind up having to, I mean, by the way, there's been cases. They're going to argue, one of the cases is called United States versus Wong Kim Ark. What? Yeah, United States versus Wong Kim Ark. It was an 1898 case. Supreme Court of the United States ruled that a Chinese resident was allowed to become a citizen, and we couldn't deny it because he'd been born here. The difference is, they love to quote this case. the birthright citizenship advocates. But United States versus Wong Kim Ark did not say the same thing as what we're dealing with now, because in his case, his parents were here as resident aliens permanently and lawfully. And he was born here, and he was being deported, and he fought it, and he won. But nowhere in that Supreme Court ruling did it extend to children born to illegal aliens. So this is going to be a fight. Now, South Carolina's attorney general is already out there speaking against it. We have states that are helping to fight the issue. South Carolina's attorney general is one of those who has filed a brief in the Supreme Court on the issue right now. And he says, he's saying we can't go down that road. I won't try to quote the whole thing. But some are saying that one of the ways that Trump administration is trying to get around this is by not just, and this is important, the Trump administration is not just challenging the constitutionality of the injunctions against the executive order. The Trump administration is also challenging the ability of a federal district court judge in one jurisdiction issuing a blanket injunction on the entire nation, meaning that one judge over here can shut down the entire nation over there. And that does not seem to be jurisdictionally sound. And so what we're looking at right now is this case is going to go to the Supreme Court. And we're going to find out whether we just inherited millions of new citizens who didn't bother to stand in line and go through the process. We're going to find out whether or not you're allowed to flood our borders and just suddenly become citizens by coming here illegally. We're going to find out. The Supreme Court's going to have to do it. In the process, though, what we may also find out is that nationwide blanket injunctions, like we've been seeing on all the other cases, like USAID and, you know, everything else Trump does, that those blanket injunctions may actually not stand up as well. All right, that was fairly quick, but that's the rundown. Birthright citizenship, big, big, hairy deal. And it's going to keep on going. I got one call on the issue, so I'll take that real quick before I go to the break. Graham from Meridianville. Hey, man, how are you?
Hey, Phil, how you doing? Quick question, and then I'll hang up and let you answer.
Okay.
Do you think some of these judges are making these crazy rulings just to try to get Trump to disregard the rulings and do what he wants to do anyway, so they have it as a political issue?
Oh, well, absolutely. Hey, thanks for the question, Graham. Yeah, I'll opine on that for a minute. Do I think that some of these judges are predisposed against Trump and they have an activist mentality? I absolutely do. I mean, you look at some of the ones who were appointed and where they came from. I mean, just look at Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. She was not appointed because she was the absolute best jurist who could have taken the bench. She was appointed because, first of all, Biden said he was going to find a black woman to take the position. She will always have an asterisk by her name. And it's unfortunate because I'm sure she's a brilliant woman. She may be liberal, but she's still a brilliant person and a very accomplished jurist, and she'll still always have an asterisk by her name. What I'm saying is the Biden administration, the Obama administration, both made it a point to find activist judges, and they did that. Now, I recognize that every judge is going to have their own understandings of things. Like, I'm a Christian. I'm pro-life. If I were on the bench as a judge, I would not stop being a Christian and stop being pro-life. I would not take it out on a Muslim because I'm a Christian, and that's the idea of being neutral. But you could not tell me to not have my faith when I took the bench. So some of these things come with you, and I get that. But do I think that some of them are trying to set Trump up? Absolutely, I do. That's why Trump has got to surround himself with good people, and Trump is going to have to appeal everything to SCOTUS, and SCOTUS is going to have to get their game face on and start taking some of this stuff up, because otherwise we're going to have a patchwork quilt of federal district court judges believing they know more than the executive, and checks and balances are not checks and balances when it's not balanced.
Exactly. That's the thing it's like checks and balances goes across all. It's checks and balances is not a funny word for the president can't do anything. It's like it checks and balances across the board, all three levels, the, you know, executive, judicial, legislative, like they're all, it doesn't mean that's all in the courts, you know? So the president has some. I'm so sick of the checks and balances being used as, because they don't know what it means. They just hear it as president has no power is pretty much what they hear, which is not true.
So. And I'm pretty sure I just coined the new bumper sticker.
What's that?
checks and balances are not checks and balances if they're out of balance.
Checks and balances have to be in balance.
Thank you. Thank you very much. No, great comment. And you're so spot on. So, yeah, thanks for the call, Graham. Appreciate that very much. Do I think they're trying to set Trump up? Of course I do. Some of them are just what I would call more liberal in their persuasions, and they interpret the law differently. And we're going to find that. I mean, I'm a fairly conservative, oftentimes civil litigation. I typically work in defense. In other words, I'm defending people from lawsuits. The plaintiff's bar, the ones who tend to sue on personal injury and that kind of stuff. A judge who's been a personal injury attorney is going to come into the bench and have a slightly different perspective than I would. A judge who used to be a prosecutor is going to have a different perspective than a defender. But they still have to be neutral to the extent they possibly can. And I don't think that's happening here. I think we're watching some judicial activism. I think we're seeing some who absolutely are providing what the law calls an abuse of their discretion that is certainly reversible in some cases. At the very least, they're trying to stymie things that are happening. And I really do believe you're right. I think that they are trying to trip Trump up. But I mean, Trump does have the power of his office. He has the bully pulpit. He has the ability to have a bigger voice than any district court judge is ever going to have. And he has the ability to immediately appeal to the Supreme Court of the United States on many of these things. Some of which he can even bypass the appellate levels and go straight to the Supreme Court. But that being said, do I think there's some of them who are out to get him? Sure. Yeah, I do. All right, I got several text messages, including some new ones coming in from Chattanooga. Y'all stay tuned. We're going to take a break right now, and then we will be right back.